Jacob loved Rachel so much that he was willing to work for 7 years for her. And even after he was tricked, he was willing to work 7 more years for her hand when he got Leah instead of Rachel. His love for her was that great. A few books later, we read about Ruth and Boaz, and Boaz loves Ruth so much that he says to his workers, take care of her, protect her, never dreaming she would love him too. But a few chapters, several chapters before we read about Jacob loving Rachel, we read about someone loving Sarah very much. And that person is the Lord God himself. And today, I hope that you're going to look at Sarah in a new way. Yes, she was very loved by her husband, but she was also loved by the Lord. And so often we think about God's love for Abraham, and we kind of think that Sarah's just along for the ride. But I hope by the end of our talk, you will have a new appreciation for Sarah.
Welcome to Finish Well Radio, where changing the world starts with changing the home, with your host, Meredith Curtis.
Welcome to Finish Well Radio. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm so glad that you're joining us. And today we are going to look at God's love for Sarah. I hope that this will be such an exciting time for you. I am going to take you back in time to about the year 2000 BC. It was after the flood. It was after the Tower of Babel, and the nations were scattered, and we've got Egypt thriving. We've got city-states like Gerar, and we've got little kingdoms here and there. But here we have this man and his wife, who was also his half-sister. Back then it was okay. It's not okay today, guys. And God said to Abraham, hey, I want you to leave everything that you have, and I want you to follow me. And so Abraham goes, he follows the Lord's leading, and they end up just kind of traipsing here and there through the land of Cana, the land that would one day belong to his descendants, the nation of Israel. And by the way, the nation of Israel is the only nation ever in history where God said, here, I'm giving you this land. This land belongs to you. So very exciting, and goes back to the first patriarch, Abraham, who was called the friend of God and who really loved God. Abraham had a wife who was very, very beautiful. In fact, Sarah was so beautiful that even in her 80s, when men saw her, they wanted to marry her. Now, how many of you know 80-year-old women? You don't see like kings of nations saying, oh, I've got to marry that woman. But that was how beautiful Sarah was. She was a very, very beautiful woman. And so Sarah said to her husband, yes, when he requested that she tell people that she was his sister because she was so beautiful, and that would protect Abraham, because Abraham was scared that men would kill him to have his wife. Now, I know that's ironic, but we're not talking about Abraham today, because if we were, we'd say, wait a minute, Abraham knows the character of God better than that. But all of us, don't we have our strengths and our weaknesses when it comes to our relationship with God? This had happened once where Abraham said to Sarah, tell everyone you're my sister. Now realize that wasn't a lie, because Abraham and Sarah were half sisters. However, the intent of it was to defraud. So technically, we could say, oh, she was telling the truth. And that's probably how they rationalized it. But the bottom line was that Abraham was trying to deceive other men from thinking that she was bound to him. Now, this all happened, and then Abraham gets this promise from God, and you're going to be the father of nations, and you are going to have a son, and through this son, not only are you going to have this amazing, great nation, but all nations on the earth will be blessed through this nation. Well, there's one little problem. You know, they're getting really up there, and they don't have any children. So Sarah gets a great idea, and she has this maidservant, and she says, well, if Abraham just pretends he's her husband for a night or two, she can get pregnant, and then that child will be my son. Well, it didn't really work out as Sarah had planned. Abraham was able to have a son through Hagar, the maidservant, and Abraham still loved his wife, and I'm sure that relationship did not continue, but because Hagar had a son, Ishmael, she began to be rude and mean to her mistress, which was Sarah, and evidently, we don't know what happened back there, but you never get the feeling that Ishmael sees Sarah as his mom. It seems like the plan just really goes awry, and Hagar runs away, and the Lord says to her, go back and submit to your mistress. So there's kind of an end for a season to this power struggle. It's going to come up again later, but it seems like there's some kind of relative peace. And so things go on, and then after Ishmael is a little older, and God gives the covenant of circumcision, and so all the men in the household are circumcised. Now, Sarah's not part of that, you know. She's not part of being circumcised, of course. You know, women were not part of that, praise God. And so she's kind of on the sidelines, and she's going about life, being a good wife to Abraham and overseeing what's entrusted to her. So here, everything is going along just like normal. And then God appears to Abraham and he says, you are going to have a son. And Abraham is 99 years old. And now this angel, the first time, the angel appears right before the circumcision, reminding Abraham, I promised you a son, going to have a son. And Abraham says, can't Ishmael be the one? Can't Ishmael be the one? Please let Ishmael be the one. And God says, no, it's not going to be Ishmael. And this is interesting. I want to read this. It's from Genesis 17, and I'm reading from the NASB. And starting in verse 18, and Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. But God said, no, but Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I will bless him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall become the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But, and here's the big but, my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this season next year. Now imagine that, Sarah, it's important that it's the son of Sarah. Now why is that? We don't know the mind of God, and I don't ever want to pretend to know the mind of God. But it's very significant to me that in a culture where God is speaking directly to Abraham for the most part, and then later directly to Isaac for the most part, and it seems to be a very male-dominated culture, why is it suddenly so important that Sarah be the wife? That Sarah, and she's as much a part of this covenant as Abraham. That just blows me away, because God is elevating Sarah to the place of a matriarch. And he even changes her name from Sarai to Sarah. And I just think, wow, God, it's not just about Abraham, it is about Sarah too. And sometimes we can feel like that. We can feel like we're a little bit on the outside, whether we're a man, a woman, a teenager, a child. We can sometimes feel like we're a little bit on the outside of what God is doing. And this is a profound story of how God said, that is my girl, that is my lady. She is part of this whole process, and it's very important. Even though she pushed herself aside, and allowed Hagar to step in and give Abraham a son, but God said, no, even though you even tried to push yourself aside, you are still the one I have chosen. So just as God had chosen Abraham, God had chosen Sarah. Now, this whole talk is between God and Abraham. I told you afterward there is the circumcision, and you know, I'm sure that's not a fun time, but that's basically God saying, okay guys, here's my plan, and here's what I want you to do. Let me know you're serious about this, that you're going to live set apart for me. So the next thing that happens is that God appears to Abraham. He's sitting in the tent. It's the heat of the day, and he's relaxing, he's cooling off, and three angels appear. When he lifts up his eyes and he looks, he says, oh, guess. And immediately he begins to prepare a feast for them. He runs to Sarah and he says, quick, 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 make some bread cakes and let's feed these people well. And he has the servants prepare food. And so everybody is busy getting ready. While he's sitting there, the angel says to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, there in the tent. So she's obviously very close by. And the angel says, I will surely return to you at this time next year. And behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. So evidently, Abraham is there and she is right behind them. But there's that tent in the way. And the angel made sure that she heard his voice, the messenger of God, saying, Sarah will have a son. So now, you know how sometimes someone else tells you something, you're like, oh, I'm not so sure. Imagine if that's from God. You know, something is from God. You're not quite so sure. You wonder, okay, did God really say this? But now Sarah has heard it. Now, remember, Abraham and Sarah were very old. They were past childbearing. That's what the Bible tells us. So Sarah just kind of laughs to herself like, I don't know, Lord. I don't know how this can happen. And after I'm so old, am I now going to nurse a baby and I'm now going to get pregnant? She just has to laugh about it. And then the Lord, the angel says to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Saying, shall I indeed bear a child when I am so old? And this is what the angel says. And it says, the Lord said. Now, that could mean that the angel's speaking on behalf of the Lord, or that truly this is an appearance of Jesus himself. But this is what the angel says. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Now, just think about this, because Sarah, she has lived the life and she knows what it is to endure difficult things. She has traveled across the desert in a tent. She's had to manage servants. She's had a plan that didn't quite work out. She's had to go to Egypt and pretend that she was Abraham's sister and have to have God rescued her from the king's harem. So Sarah knows what it is to overcome difficult things. But even so, this seems impossible. And maybe she's saying to herself, wait, God rescued me from Egypt. Can't he give me a son? Because he rescued me in that situation, and he did not let the king touch me, and he returned me to my husband. Can't God come through in this situation? I don't know what thoughts were going through her mind. I really don't. I do know from 1 Peter 3 that Sarah put her hope in God, and she really seemed to love the Lord. And we know that from the way she's mentioned. But you know, Abraham is the man of faith and power. He's the one in the spotlight, and she's more in the background. But now God is elevating her to this place, and he's saying, no, it's not going to be Hagar. It's going to be you, Sarah. You are going to be the mother of Israel, just as Abraham is the father. You have looked to me, and now I am going to bless you. Sarah needed to learn that nothing is too difficult from God. So, what do you think? Do you think at that point there was smooth sailing from then on? Well, no, not at all. Because the next thing that happens is that we see that the angels are also going to talk to Abraham about Sodom and Gomorrah. And God is tired of Sodom and Gomorrah's sin, and he's not going to send a flood again. He said no more flood, but he is going to rain down salt, and he is going to destroy that city. But who lives there? Their cousin, Lot. I'm sure Sarah was very upset when she heard that, because I'm sure she was listening. And Abraham pleads, and he says, if there are 50 righteous people, will you spare it? And God says, yes, for 50, I will spare it. If there are 45, will you spare it? For 45, I will spare it. Goes down and down and down until he comes to 10. And I want to tell you, my friend, there were not 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah. I am so sorry to say that. And so that's kind of a sidetrack. Like, all of a sudden, all this is happening, you know. God, because of Abraham, actually sends angels to rescue Lot and his wife and his children. But because Lot's wife looks back, by children I mean his two daughters, because Lot's wife looks back, she actually experiences the same judgment, that raining down of whatever is raining down. It turns her into a pillar of salt. And Abraham can see it from where he is. He can see it in the distance, the judgment of God coming down. And I'm sure that the Lord spoke to his heart and said, don't worry, I rescued your cousin. He's okay. Your nephew, he's okay. But I want you to get this feeling. So God comes and gives Sarah this great news and says, nothing is too difficult for you. And then he displays his power. Now, it's not the kind of power we like to see displayed, because we like to see, like, great blessings, financial miracles, healing, stuff like that. Judgment, that's not so encouraging to our hearts. But something else happens after Sodom and Gomorrah. There is another time that Sarah has to put her hope in God. And we are going to talk about that right after this message from our sponsor, Powerline Productions.
Every woman longs to be beautiful. God's Girls Beauty Secrets, written for ladies from 12 to 28, is a Bible study where beauty secrets are uncovered throughout Scripture. Learn to be beautiful inside and out with God's wisdom and practical tips on making the best of what the Lord has given you. God's Girls Beauty Secrets is available at Amazon.com and PowerlineProd.com. Get your copy today. Powerline Productions, being world changers, raising world changers. You've been listening to Finish Well Radio on the Ultimate Radio Network. Now back to your host, Meredith Curtis.
Welcome back. We have been talking about Sarah and how God loves her and how God chose her and how God said, no, you're my woman. You're the one who's going to be the mother in Israel. It's not going to be Hagar. It's going to be you, Sarah. You are just as important as Abraham, and I can't do it unless it's your son from your body that comes forth. That is my plan. So now we have this promise. Sodom and Gomorrah has been destroyed, so we've seen the power of God. So what happens next? What happens next is that they go to a place called Gerar. And when they get there, there's a king called Abimelech. And Abimelech has lots of wives. But Abraham gets nervous. Now, think about this. God has just said, your wife is going to have a son. It's going to be your baby and her baby. And they get to Gerar, and he says, hey, pretend you're my sister. And Sarah's thinking, what? The last time this happened, I ended up in the harem of the king. And I'm sure she is just thinking, what on earth is going on? But we don't know if they fought. We don't know if she was just totally putting her hope in God and trusting God and did not say a word. But for whatever happened, however, whatever the details were, and won't that be interesting to meet these people and say, okay, now back then, you're in Gerar. What happened? Like, did you guys fight? What happened? Did you tell her, okay, try to look ugly? Anyway, whatever happened, she ends up in the harem of King Abimelech. And there she is in his harem. And what should happen? But God says to King Abimelech, touch her and you're a dead man. And of course, there's more to the story. And you can read Genesis 20 to find out more. But something that really strikes me in this situation, touch her and you're a dead man. Why? Because I have set her apart. She is going to be the mother of Israel. She is going to have a son. Yes, she is beautiful, and I know that you want her, but she is not yours. She is mine, and she is the wife of Abraham. And I just think in that moment how much the Lord loves Sarah, how much he loves her. And don't we want that in our lives, to know that God loves us so much that he would say to the devil, touch her and you're a dead man? You see, God is for us. He is not against us. And we so often want to make our own plans. We so much want to have a Hagar. We so much want to have an Ishmael, because we just don't see that God is going to bring in Isaac. But here is God coming through. Abraham's done it again. It's the exact same scenario. And it almost seems, when Abraham's explaining everything to Abimelech, oh, this is what I do, because she's so beautiful and men want her, I just have her say, if you really love me, just tell them you're my sister. And so we don't know if he did it more than this time. And these are just the two times it went really bad. But it must have been hard for her. But God came through. God loved her. God protected her. God came through. And I want to read something to you, because in the Bible, in the New Testament, years later, God spoke through Peter and he said, Peter, write this down. Exactly what I tell you. This is my words. I want them to be read 2,000 years from now. When you write this 2,000 years from now, there are going to be women all over the world, and they're going to read this, and it's going to encourage him. And of course, women in every time period, and men too. I want to read this passage of scripture. And this is 1 Peter 3, and it starts in verse 1. It says this, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing of gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with this imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you have become her children if you do what is right, without being frightened by fear. The NIV translated that she put her hope in God. And this version says they hoped in God. I just love that, because She was able to respect and honor Abraham, and I'm sure he was a great man. He was a wealthy man, but he was wealthy because he was a man who feared the Lord, who talked to God. God called him a prophet in the very chapter where he lets Sarah kind of mislead everybody that he's just a brother. That's just my bro. At that very same time, when God says, touch her and you're a dead man, he had evidently closed up the womb of the whole household. Wives of the king in the harem, any servants and everything. No one could get pregnant. No one could have babies. So this, I don't know how this all happened so fast, because we know that in less than a year, there's going to be this baby born. Sarah was forced in a situation where she had to put her hope in God. And we don't know how she did it. We don't know if she prayed. We don't know if she cried out. We don't know if she quoted promises that God had given her or what they had with them. Did Abraham have a copy of the story from Genesis? Did she know that? Had it been memorized? And I don't know, but she somehow put her hope in God, and she was able to be beautiful. And it's interesting because we know she was so beautiful that in her 90s, kings are wanting her to be their wife. That's beautiful. And when God talks about external beauty in this chapter, you would think he would be saying, oh yeah, Sarah was so beautiful. She was one of the most beautiful women that ever lived, just like Esther, just like Rebecca. And that would all be true. But God chose to highlight something more important than her external beauty. And that was her gentle and quiet spirit and her inward beauty, her inward character. And I just want you to pause a minute and think about that. One of the most beautiful women that ever lived on the earth, and God does not highlight her physical beauty. He highlights her beautiful character. And that shows me what God values, what God esteems, and what God blesses. And again, it just reveals this love for Sarah. Not only are you beautiful on the outside, but you're even more beautiful on the inside. You can almost hear him saying that to her, you know, or, you know, maybe he says it to her in heaven. I don't know, but there's God's heart. There's his love. And there's this woman who is loved by God. And what happens to her? She's put her hope in God. She is, you know, trusting him. And then we go back to her story, and we find this. Then the Lord took note of Sarah. Remember, I told you he had closed the wombs of everyone in King Abimelech's household. Abraham prayed for them. He healed them. And then the Lord took note of Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, just as God commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. And Sarah said this, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears me will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, yet I have borne him a son in his old age? The child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. Now realize that was several years later. We read the scripture, Genesis covers 3,000 years. That's such a long time. And yet there's just this little sentence about several years of her nursing that baby, loving that baby, raising that baby, telling him the stories. And of course, she continued to be very close to him, because it was when she died, when Isaac was 40, so she had 40 years with him, that Isaac was so sad that the servant went to get him a wife. And that was when Rebecca came into the picture. But what I want you to notice as we step back and look at Sarah is that this woman was loved by God. She was so pivotal in the purposes of God in the earth, because she would be the mother of Israel, and it would be through her lineage that Jesus Christ would come, the Messiah. And through Jesus, every nation on earth will be blessed, because we're told that every tribe and tongue will be represented in heaven. So if you're listening tonight and you think, well, Sarah, she was the most beautiful woman in the world, and she's married to this rich guy who had lots of camels and lots of cattle and lots of sheep. Honestly, all that stuff is not important to God. God looks at our heart, and it says his eyes range to and fro, seeking hearts that are fully devoted to him. And God is after you to captivate your heart. And he is pursuing you. So often we think we're trying to find God, we're trying to reach out to God, and all the time, God is pursuing you. God loves you. God has a purpose. And it is not the purpose that you believe it is. Because some of you are listening and you think, oh, I'm in my old age, I'll never bear a son. And you just fill in the blank. For you, it's not the same as Sarah, but it's something else. Oh, I'll never be able to do that because I'm just not good enough. Oh, I'll never be able to do that because I'm too old or I'm too young. Or I'm just not beautiful, or I'm just not gifted. You fill in the blank. And let me tell you something. God is not finished yet. Don't run from him. Put your hope in him like Sarah, and allow him to build in you a gentle and quiet spirit. And if you are an Abraham, you're listening to this, and you're like, well, I'm not a Sarah. Look around for the Sarahs in your life and realize that God has a plan and a purpose for them too. And let them know how valuable they are and how important they are to be part of the work that God has before you. And make sure they know they are loved by God and appreciated and respected by you. God bless you, and thank you so much for listening.
Thank you for listening to Finish Well Radio with Meredith Curtis and the Finish Well team. Please listen in every first Monday of each month at 7 p.m. Eastern Time here at the Ultimate Radio Network.